Okay, hello again. Nice to see so many here. My name is Antti Arppe, and I'm from the University of Alberta, and I'm going to talk about turning language documentation into readers and writers software tools. And this is really a collaborative effort of folks at the U of A, as well as internationally at the University of Tromsø in Norway, and scholars throughout Canada. What we're talking about is effectively work within a project called the 21st Century Tools for Indigenous Languages, where we really have a large number of partners, co-investigators, collaborators, students, labs, and research teams. So importantly, us at the University of Alberta, the University of Tromsø in Norway, the Cree Literacy Network, number of co-investigators, a growing number of collaborators, students, labs, and research teams, where I want to sort of especially mention the Giela Tekno and Bivon teams at the University of Tromsø, and also, last but not least, community contacts, for instance, with one Cree community 100 kilometers south of Edmonton, the Miowakotoyen Education Board in Massachusetts. And just to put some faces here, so last summer when we started the project, we had a kickoff workshop on working with Plains Cree, and here's the group of people who were participating. Then native speakers of Cree scholars, computational linguists, students, and we also had the pleasure of hosting what we sort of playfully called the first international workshop on computational modeling of Haida. Fieldwork context in a university setting, so that's actually sort of a package carton for some new table that we set in a different room with Trond Trostud and Schumus, again our Norwegian collaborators, and Jordan Latcher here, who's our main authority on Northern Haida. And it just so happens that sort of the work that we're doing, the languages we're dealing with, has a sort of circumpolar span that sort of ties in actually quite nicely with the general backdrop of the first plenary that effectively our Norwegian collaborators have for 15 years been working with the indigenous Sami languages spoken in northern Scandinavia, starting with North Sami, the largest one with 15,000 speakers, and then extending to the other up to seven Sami languages still being spoken. The same researchers have also worked with Greenlandic and have collaborated with Greenlandic language authorities, and they are currently also collaborating with a major project funded by the Kone Elevator Foundation in Finland on developing language technology for the small Finno-Ugric languages in northern Russia. And we're sort of bringing the North American context here with working with starting off work with Plains Cree and Haida. You can ask why later. And the thing to realize is that sort of we are really sort of building on the work of many others. There's many shoulders to stand upon. Speaking of Cree, there's Cree elders, instructors, language activists, and speakers who worked in providing linguistic material for various resources such as the Alberta Elders Cree Dictionary that Earl Waugh has edited, the Musqueam Cree Dictionary by Miowakotoyen Education, Cree Words by Arok Wollongray, Cree Grammatical Descriptions by Jean Okimasis and Chris Wolfart, Cree Text Collections by Wolfart, Russell, Patricia Demira, Naomi McIlworth, and Dorothy Thunder, who's also here, Bloomfield, and hopefully many more. I'm also going to mention a bit about Haida. So there's the many Haida native speakers, elders, and scholars, starting from J.R. Swanton. And from the technological perspective, I have to emphasize that we're piggybacking on the work of Giela Tekno and Divun at the University of Tromsø on language technology for indigenous Sami languages. And what that Giela Tekno actually means, it's tongue technology, Giela, if you know Uralic languages. So Giela is tongue in Sami. And the key themes actually for this talk were hark actually to two comments raised earlier at this conference at the various presentations, or one presentation and a lunch discussion. There was a question of arranging a dating service, yes, for field linguists and computational linguists, and effectively what this talk is about is what would be desiderata for lexicographical documentation by field linguists that could sort of facilitate, enable the creation of computational tools. Another perspective is we had a lunch discussion of talking hotel rooms or talking elevators. You might be aware that ever since the advent of computers, there's been expectation of machine translation and automatic speech recognition that you could talk to your elevator or refrigerator, being originally promised in the 40s and 50s to be coming in the 5 or 10 years. We're not yet there, but there's actually some sort of simpler language technological tools, which I call here the low-hanging fruits, that are nevertheless of benefit, even though you're not able to talk to your refrigerator in Cree or Finnish or English. There's tools that can be created that are useful. And in a sense, the key message to field linguists, and sort of an answer to the question, how to enable computational models, how to be effective from the perspective of computational linguists or computer scientists. Effectively, we're talking about a field linguist in his extensive work developing systematic, well-structured and detailed descriptions of words and their structure. Typically, indigenous languages having quite a complex morphology, meaning exhaustive descriptions of all world-class paradigm types matched with a comprehensive lexicon where words are matched with the different paradigm types. And what are the, if we don't get the talking refrigerator, what could we get? What we're aiming based on the Norwegian experience and model is a toolkit for indigenous languages consisting of intelligence web-based dictionaries where you can link any inflected form of a word with the appropriate dictionary entry or generate various forms of paradigms. So providing ease of use, you don't have to figure out what the stem is to find a lexical entry. The machine will do that for you using the computational model. Another tool is a spell checker, which allows to people to adhere with one or more orthographical conventions, so get the production of good quality text where you can focus on the content instead of the orthography. There's also a possibility of using the computational models for intelligent language training and education applications, where the intelligence here means is the incorporation of a computational model, so we can have a dynamic generation of large numbers of exercises based on combining core vocabulary with a substantially smaller set of exercise templates. So there's a dimension that we can expand those templates substantially with the computational model. And also we're working on developing basic text-to-speech synthesizers. It's become obvious to us that for many communities, the knowledge of the language is still in the oral form, and recognition of words is very, very much often rather in the spoken form rather than the written form. So we're seeing synthesizers to support that. And then underlying all this are linguistic analysis tools for research purposes. So what are we talking about if we look at tools for English? In Word, you have a spell checker. If you misspell slept by sleep, you get suggestions like this. Correction suggestions and the marking that it's actually incorrect. And these tools are more and more ubiquitous in a sense that you don't actually see other than that squiggly line and the suggestions there, but behind there's actually quite substantial machinery. There's also dictionary functionalities that we can look at the synonyms for slept and getting them actually in the same inflected form. So we get slumbered, some napped, snoozed. You don't have to sort of clip off the word ending and then search for a synonym and then inflect it yourself. The system does it sort of back and forth by itself. And also we can look at individual words here, presuming that nobody here understands English but understands French, so we could look at, well, what is our We can have a dictionary access here. We can get its French translation, and we could even translate that, and we could look that for all of these words if they were unfamiliar to us using English now. Here is an example, dog being chien, slipped. And here we see a limitation that it's recognized as being a past form, but we don't actually get the sort of corresponding French form. But here in the translation part, we do get dormi, but not in the bilingual translation. And sort of a tool that perhaps many have used is for instance, Google Translate, where you can plonk in a sentence and get a translation. We probably won't be getting that far in the initial stages of the project that we could translate an entire sentence, but our Norwegian collaborators are actually working on full-scale machine translation of Sami languages to the majority languages and between various Sami languages. So it's similar language technology tools possible for indigenous languages. The messages, they certainly are, especially if the fieldwork is done in the structured, systematic way. And here we have to deal with modeling word structure. If we sort of have English-like languages with four forms for nouns, four or five forms for verbs, three forms for adjectives, if we'd be modeling the 100,000 most common frequent word forms, it would be possible to list all forms because they would add up to something like 500,000. But when we're dealing with morphological complex languages like Cree and many other indigenous languages, this sort of listing doesn't make sense anymore. That you have tens of basic forms for Cree verbs, and when you start playing with the Cree verbs, you can get into the hundreds. So listing doesn't really much make sense. And how to deal with complex morphology? The solution, one solution for dealing that is if you don't have 100 million words of a corpus from which you could actually sort of machine learn paradigms, you could work with the explicit description of how the morphology works, effectively describing affixation sequences of how you put morphemes together, describing morphological rules that when you put morphemes together, you get sort of phoneme junctures where things happen. For instance, in Cree, when you create a diminutive, the T becomes affricated. And then you can also incorporate affix agreement rules. When you have circumfixes, you can require that if there's a certain type of prefix and the suffix that they have to agree. And the thing with finite state transducers is that they've been around for 25 years. They've been applied for over 100 languages of all typological sorts. So they're well tested and tried technology, allowing for describing the morphology without having access to tens or hundreds of millions of words. So the ideal solution in describing the morphology would be describing an exhaustive set of full paradigms that would correspond to a set of paradigm member words. A question to be thought about is that are these abstractions, are all of these forms in the paradigms actually really sort of psychologically plausible or not? That's a theoretical question, I won't go into that, but it certainly comes into when you implement computational modeling. In the case of Plains Cree, what sort of field linguist resource would make this computational modeling possible? After doing some work on our own for half a year, we got in touch with Otto Kvålunge, one of the foremost Cree scholars, and found that he actually had these sort of very nice templates for how Cree nouns work for different paradigm subtypes. So there's a prefix, then where you put the stem, then a potential im suffix, and then a final suffix combination in an example of what the form looks like with the linguistic analysis. And for I'm here to see that in bit more detail. So this is for one type of the Chiman, meaning canoe. And Wallenberg actually has identified some 10 different subtypes for which he has presented similar schema for how the morphology works. And there's a similar description for in an animate nouns as well. So Bach Waesikam Bannock, where you have the prefix, the ending, and the form of the English translation and the linguistic analysis associated with again some 10 different classes. And for verbs, there's similar descriptions of templates, but not just having these sort of descriptions of the paradigm types. What one wants to have is actually sort of nouns and verbs classified according to these paradigm types. And we were fortunate in getting access to pre-words by Wollongrave, where you have for each of the nouns, or in this case, or the verbs, you have that what paradigm subtype does it belong to. So is it NI1, NI3, NI2, and so on. We see the red form there, that's the basic root. And then there's sometimes a root alternation that is marked in blue, that there's an occasional W or some other change there. And effectively, what this is based on is a toolbox database developed by Wollongrave, which is also, which a subset is presented in his Cree English Cree dictionary Cree words. Doing this modeling, we realized that there was things that actually the paradigms didn't exactly describe. It wasn't fully clear whether when to use an im affix in possessive forms, whether you use the long or short diminutive, whether animate forms can have a locative form, and which animate nouns can take the distributive form. So being among people, you can be among buffaloes, but can you be among bears, or can you be among fishes? And for Northern Haida, so with verbs, there's 75 paradigms, for which each paradigm amounted to some 150 forms. We have suffixes matched by linguistic analysis that sort of comprehensive tell us how Northern Haida verbs behave. So what about the low-hanging fruits? Why do this? If you have descriptions like this, I can tell from experience that it took us in the range of several weeks to take these descriptions, paradigm descriptions, and lexical resources to develop a computational model that allows us to provide these low-hanging fruits. So we have a web-based dictionary here for plain Cree, it Wewina, where it's a joint collaboration between our university and the First Nation University and Yale Techno, and we can actually choose whether the interface is in English or in Cree, and we're choosing Cree here. And we can plunk in a complex form, a Niki ni tawa kiskin waha makkosin, excuse my Finnish accent, and get an analysis for that. That actually it's the stem is kiskin waha makkosin, to go and learn. There's the Niki, I passed, Nitawi, go somewhere, which you see here as the linguist analysis to the right. We can also search for napeu. In the base form. The reason I'm doing this is that we can actually then, so if you see to the right text, we can actually search for occurrences of napeu in any inflected form in a text, in this particular case, the dog business stories by Solomon Ratt. But in addition to having this sort of conventional electronic dictionary, there's actually here, if you look, you can see plugins over there, so you can actually drag and drop a plugin, and you can go on a page that happens to have plain Cree text, like the Cree Literary Network, that has various stories by Solomon Ratt. And we can click on Itwenia here, and then sort of click on individual words which are analyzed, and for the base form, you get the English translation. So if you know Cree morphology, you're able to perhaps sort of figure out what's actually happening here. Salamo Achimo, Salamo tells, Ispik when, and here we have this form Niki Nitawi Kiskin Wahamakusin, so let's go to school, so when I went to school, away, ich there, and ni beginning, so R, and locative, so R reserve, and then Kista Pigna, so Prince Albert, you see the ich ending here. So if you know a bit of Cree morphology, but you don't know the words, you can actually sort of understand what's going on here. It's not yet a full-fledged translation, but it's translation in individual words. And we can also use this as a spell checker. So here we have an example sentence, Niteminani Mausisone Squahtimik, both in standard Roman orthography and syllabics, with a few self-inflicted spelling mistakes. So Nitemminaan here lacks the sort of long a on the suffix. So we see that it's been underlined, so it's incorrect. We got a correction suggestion, actually three ones there, which the first one is correct. And here, having dropped off the final N for the syllabic, so we can get corrections and suggestions for that as well. I also mentioned the intelligent computer-aided language learning applications. So here's a sort of very basic level demo that we put together our Norwegian collaborators have put together to demonstrate the concept so that we could discuss with the communities and QI instructors and how this could be developed further. So you can have basic lexical practice on words, and we're integrating this with recordings of these words, so you can actually hear the word in addition to seeing it. So not just seeing Otenau, but hearing Otenau spoken by a native Cree speaker. So you can practice vocabulary in a conventional way. But an important element is actually something that Conor Quinn was talking about, contextual learning. In using natural settings, for instance, questions here with the verb nipau, and then hianau, pronoun, what would be the appropriate form of nipau, he sleeps, with key, the key on the subject. And here I have happened to be correct, and the same with pa piu, but then with the minih kueu, I got that incorrect. And also here's a sort of a question and answer. Are you going to do something today? Yes, I'm going to do that. So there's ki papin chi anok, eha ni pahkenacho. And the idea is you can learn that there's only a slight difference. You have to change the begin initial ki to ni when you answer. And finish up with Haida. We have similar functionalities of which I simply demonstrate the basic web-based dictionary. We have here an interesting Haida form that happens to be an infected form we can search, and we realize that that's a form of takul, which is to somebody to put or wrap something on their shoulders. And you can see it's sort of a third person plural interrogative very near future form. And the thing is sort of when we have these tools on the web or otherwise available, they're publicly available over the internet. They can be integrated as part of general software applications, web browser, word processors with little or no cost for the communities. They can be used by any speakers and language learners in the respective communities, as well as any researchers, instead of remaining on an individual researcher's computer drive or library bookshelf. The key message, again, how to enable computational tools. If you have resources of the sort we showed, systematic, well-structured, detailed descriptions of words and structure with exhaustive descriptions of word class paradigm types matched with the comprehensive lexicon that tells you into what paradigm of words belong, then you can create these tools in surprisingly short time. We put in the Haida verb model together in 1 week. Thank you. That's possible, but that's not our. I mean, you could use an FST model to provide you the sequence of morphemes that you observe in a word. So that's entirely possible. But we haven't really been. I mean, this is a question that the field linguists have sometimes raised, that it would be nice to have a glossing tool, but that hasn't been the starting point of these tools. It's more sort of for the actually the end user communities. But it's totally possible with the technology.
Do you, with your exhaustive paradigms, do you also run across the question of having preferred combinations within a community? So there are certain combinations that are like formulaic that people use all the time. And yes, your parser can parse them, but those are the ones people use.
So the, you're thinking of the most common word forms or most common expressions or?
Yeah, formulaic combinations of complex morphology.
That can be dealt with. So this technology does allow you for specifying, you can specify restrictions on what sort of morphemes can actually combine, provided that the field linguist has that knowledge, or that you have some sort of corpus material that you can, even a small corpus material, several hundred thousand words, you can actually at least see the most common combinations. And you can also introduce with finite state transducers gradients in a sense that you can rank morpheme combinations so that you can based on what you've observed in a corpus, you can have the most likely combinations first and then the less likely later on. And that's something you'd like to have in spell checking. If you're generating forms, you'd like to put the combinations of morphemes that are most likely up top and less likely further down.
I may miss this, but how, once you finally finish this and get it going to where it's self-sufficient, do you have any kind of plans to try and, you know, pass this to Google or any other, Microsoft, anything like that? Any of the big companies, is there that option?
This is a fundamentally an open source project, so actually all this material is accessible currently. On our Norwegian partner server, anybody can sort of download all the material, at least read them, and if you start seriously participating, you can start editing for a version controlling system. Our intention in terms of the proofing tools, the spell checker tools, is that they be available as modules in word processors, and currently it seems the most straightforward to do that with the open source word processors such as LibreOffice. But our Norwegian collaborators have also worked in integrating the tools as part of Microsoft Office suite as well. So, and there the challenge is rather will Microsoft open their interface for integrating these tools. There was a time when they really wanted to shut out anything that wasn't their own development. But why would we hand this over to Google? Well, they could contact us if they want. if they want to integrate these technologies as part of their tools, that's fine. It's open source. There's just certain restrictions on what sort of money you can make on it, and what sort of ownership you can take on it.
Yeah, well, I'd be more. I mean, my question is more based on having it be something that's kind of added to the collective popularity of what's being done now.
Yeah,
because I know that some places are incorporating, you know, Cherokee and other, you know, minority languages, and so to have something like this kind of bump up Cree's prestige would be spiffy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have been thinking about that, and I have a previous history of having worked for a small language technology company that developed spell checkers and dictionaries for that we licensed to Microsoft in the late 90s for the majority Nordic languages, and Finnish was at the bottom rung of what was commercially interesting. But then they changed mind a few years later. They thought that actually sort of providing minimal support for other languages as well might be worthwhile. And they asked us, what can you do for 50,000 euros? And you might have seen this sort of local language program where Inuktitut and some other relatively small languages have some support out there. So sometimes it might not be that there's not the market there to argue for Microsoft being interested, but there might be the PR value that if they don't have to do it, somebody else does it, but they allow that these tools to be integrated, that might be very much in their interest. And that's something we're really thinking of discussing with the major software developers, not just for Cree or not just for Haida, but for try to represent a number of languages that, you know, would you guys be interested?
I have a very specific, just as an example.
Yeah.
We've been looking for a spell checker for an Ojibwe messenger program.
Yeah.
And so would this be able to be used as a spell checker in an app for Ojibwe, for example?
Yeah. And
how hard
would that be? We're working with Cree.
Yeah.
And we're working with Cree scholars on the pre continuum.
Yep.
And we have been thinking about extending to other Algonquian languages as well. So you should come to talk to me.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for questions, but please join me in thanking our speaker again.